Random thought. Should we be held accountable for our words in perpetuity? And I'm asking this because Mike Richards, and you remember him, he was, you know, the guy that almost like basically put himself in as the new host of Jeopardy. He was an executive producer on the show. And, oh, I'm going to be the new host. Okay, cool. But then all of a sudden, as happens, the internet sleuths go back and they find some audio of when he was on the Random podcast, which is spelled R-A-N-D-U-M-B podcast. And he was basically doing some, you know, trying to get his Howard Stern on, being very, you know, shock jockey and stuff. And yeah, some of the things he said, he's since apologized, saying, you know, there were insensitive remarks and it was terribly embarrassing moment of misjudgment. But some of the stuff he's done, like referring to his female co-host as a booth hoe and a booth slut. or even the one where he asked her about nudes and had she ever sent nudes. And it just kind of got a little creepy in the way he was kind of saying it.
Well, okay, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Have you ever taken a nude picture?
I'm not answering that question to you, Mike Richards.
Answer it right now.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
I have not, like, naked. I've taken, like, cute pictures of myself that I thought
were kind of cute.
What
does that mean?
I thought I was, like, so cute.
Like booby pictures? What are you looking at?
No, I don't do that. I don't do that. Like pictures where I think, like, you know, those stupid, like, hot selfies, but I don't take.
And then,
like,
and then what are they for? Were you sending them to your boyfriend?
Or I'll send them, like, I'll just, like, be like, oh, I was looking really cute today.
Do you know to yourself.
So just, like, to remember that I looked
really cute that day.
Yeah.
He's since apologized, but because of this, he's now will not be the host of Jeopardy. And I'm wondering, is it because of the comments he made? Is it because it's Jeopardy? Or is it because he would be then replacing Alex Trebek?
That's a good... So that's two questions that you've asked. As for the first one, should we be held accountable for our words in perpetuity? No. We've said some things, you know, on this show, and I don't want to...
I have no idea what you're talking about. I have never said anything.
I don't want to not get a career opportunity because I had this idea of a HR pullout policy that companies should have.
It's a great friggin' policy.
It's a great one, but I don't want someone to be like, hey, we were going to promote Terrell to VP, but we found this clip from his podcast. So, no.
And you'd be like, though, no, but it was a hypothetical situation. That's all it was. Yeah. I swear, it was hypothetical.
And I truly believe that Mike Richards and his host... they have a script. They have things that we're going to do this. I'm going to talk about this. So it's not that she was shocked that he asked her those things. I think right. It was all part of the deal. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we should judge people on that, especially we go far back. I mean, they're finding people's tweets from, you know, 2011, 2012, and it's like almost 10 years from now. And we're still good. And then I hate these people that go apologizing because, again, you know, I hate the apology tour. You said it, meant it. Just be like, hey, guys, that was something I said in 2010. That was 11 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if y'all want to judge me based on what I said 11 years ago, okay, move on. Take the Kevin Hart stance. I'm not apologizing. You know, this is what I said.
Yeah, but then he did. Then he did, you know, backpedal and apologize. True. And, you know, the thing about it is, like, you've got to understand the mindset that you were in at that time. And first of all, we say this because thank God there was no social media around when we were in college, because we probably would have said some dumb shit too. We said a lot of dumb shit. We did a lot of dumb shit. And thankfully, we didn't have camera phones to take pictures and document that crap that we did. So thank you. Thank you. And thank you. however, you know, we always talk about wanting people to change, right? And, well, you should change your stance. Because when you get in an argument with somebody who doesn't see things eye to eye with you, it's usually about you need to come and see things my way. Well, if they do see things your way now, that means before they didn't. So are you going to go back to when they didn't see things your way and still – how do you allow people to change? How do you expect them to change if you don't allow them to change? If Mike Richards is still saying the same dumb shit now, I get it. But that was 7 years ago, and it was for the platform he was on. That's when podcasting was very shock jockey. People would get on and curse for no apparent reason. I mean, the things that you and I say we will never say on this podcast, and we made that determination before we even put the first episode out, right? There are people who just let everything fly, and they still do that to this day. And there are people who back then, everybody was trying to get on by doing these shock jockey things, and that's what he was doing.
Yeah, it's just dumb that we hold people accountable to that. But I wonder, you know, how could that backfire on somebody?
Mm-hmm.
For example, you take a woman that's scorned. You know, she's going to be posting men ain't shit and mm-hmm. all this other stuff, all these different memes.
Mm-hmm.
And then every man I know in the state of X ain't shit. Then she winds up dating a dude and he happens to come across her old texts and tweets from a couple years ago. Can he hold her accountable for that? Like, wait a minute, I'm from the state and you said I ain't shit.
Yeah. Well,
that's,
you know,
reaching. It's reaching, but I'm just still like.
Here's the thing about that. In that situation, and Terrell, I will let you know this, so do not ever tell any woman this, because if you do, she's going to say, well, that just makes you a bitch ass because you should let that go. Are you really going back looking at my old tweets? What kind of man are you to be looking at my old tweets anyway?
It's called research. It's called research. And ladies, you should do it. You know, if you're going to date somebody, you should internet stalk them, do some research, and see what you're getting yourself into. It's so weird that all of a sudden so many women will be dating a guy for like 3 to 6 months, and all of a sudden he's crazy. Sometimes your posts tell me you're crazy. Pay attention to that stuff. You might see that he has a wedding ring on in a picture that he just uploaded a week ago.
Wait a minute. I used to wear a ring on my wedding finger for a long time. I mean, this one means something. But I used to always wear rings on my wedding finger. It got me out of a lot of unwanted hits that I got, you know, like, hey, and another, hey.
Whatever. I know why you wore the ring. I'm not going to call you out, but I know why you wore it.
Oh, boy. Now you're going to have people really asking this question. See, that's that bullshit. You're just making that up now.
No. No. You wore that ring because you were a booth slut back in the
day. And on that note, this show's over. We didn't even start it. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two guys having crazy conversations?
Yeah, like this one. We are those guys, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 51. Be sure to like, subscribe, and definitely leave a comment.
Indeed. You know, so many exciting things that are happening with us, because, again, episode 51, next week, it's going to be a year since we've started the podcast officially, and we have quite a few things to cover in that, so make sure you are subscribed, but you're looking for our episodes as they come out. Audio on Mondays, mm-hmm. video on Tuesdays on YouTube, and on Wednesdays, we do the Married at First Sight recap. I think it'll be, what, episode 7? It's the next episode. That's Wednesday night, usually right around midnight going into Thursday. So right before you go to bed, we'll drop that on you, audio and video. And they're finally leaving the honeymoon. So hopefully we start getting to the drama. Excited about this. I know Terrell is too.
No, I'm not. When you said episode, I don't know what episode we're on because it's so many hours that I've seen the show. It's ridiculous. The first one was 3 hours. Everyone's been 2 hours after that.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
You know, interesting thing, last episode we talked about Sha'Carri Richardson and at the Prefontaine Classic, which was the season opener for the Diamond League. I had no idea. And here's the great thing about Sha'Carri Richardson, right? Because of all the stuff that she was doing, you know, the weed smoking, the out of the Olympics, but then still tweeting, you know, first her initial apology, then tweeting just crazy. Miss me yet? No. then coming in ninth place. There's so much more focus on this Diamond League. I know maybe not for you. I love track and field, but I think the excitement mm-hmm. right now around women's sprints is so good to see. And watching that happen, then you watch them go off to Lucerne, Switzerland for the next event, right? And in that one, watching the Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce actually win the 100 meters, beating Elaine Thompson Hurrah in that one. And then they were in Paris this past weekend for another meet, again, part of the Diamond League. So watching these same people compete back and forth, you know, they're building these friendships across nations, and you've got the best sprinters doing it. So a lot of excitement around track and field, and I'm glad to see that right now. But back to Sha'Carri Richardson. Last week, we played the clip of her, you know, really, really giving herself a pat on the back and talking shit on the hot mic during an interview.
This is one race. I'm not done. You know what I'm capable of. Count me out if you want to. Talk all the shit you want, because I'm here to stay. I'm not done. I'm the sixth fastest woman in this game ever. And can't nobody ever take that from me.
She did after that, and if you go back and look at the full clip, she actually says, you know, congratulations to the women. It's a very nonchalant, you know, like, fuck them, fuck them women, yeah, congratulations to them, blah, 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 whatever, right? But then after, she actually comes back out, speaks in the back end, and she is a little bit more how she's, you know, I love all women, it doesn't matter the flag, and...
At the end of the day, no excuses, not at all. It's time to get back in the lab and do what it is that I need to do. Congratulations to the women that won. I love women, no matter what the flag is, no matter what brand you wear. I love successful women, and I hope that they continue to be just as successful as they're doing and continue to thrive in their career. But I'm definitely going to thrive, and I'm definitely going to continue to show the world why I'm that girl.
A little bit more complimentary, still talking shit like, and when I win, then what are y'all gonna say? Nothing, you know. She's still being herself,
right?
And at the end of the day, there's more that's going on, because there seems to be a digital war going on between her and the Jamaicans. As there was a tweet that was sent out, and there are people who will follow your tweets and follow, especially if you're a superstar. And Terrell, if we ever get to that level, anything you like, they will be able to keep track of it. But there was a woman who had tweeted, "Not y'all Jamaicans still talking shit when y'all got to walk barefoot to your coconut stand every day for a living." Funny tweet. Very if you look at the comedy of it, it's a funny tweet. It's pretty fucked up in what is being said. But at the same time, Sha'Carri, if you found it funny, laugh at it. Don't like it, because now you put yourself back in the crosshairs, and here's where you are again. And then what did she do after that? Alyssa Felix goes on Jimmy Kimmel Live, you know, gives some words of advice, and hey, we've got to support Sha'Carri. Then she comes out, Sha'Carri comes out right after that, and I just want to make sure I get this correct, because she says, encouraging words on TV shows are not, my bad, let me say this again. Encouraging words on TV shows are just as real as, well, nothing at all. Woman, this is the most decorated track and field athlete in U.S. history. This sending you some love. Jesus Christ.
So here's what I think is... She is going to self-destruct.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that she's doing, she is going to self-destruct. And we will be talking about her 2 or 3 years from now in the next Olympics. We won't even be talking about her. But she's totally going to self-destruct and do it to herself. I think she realized, and she got a big old scoop of humble pie when she got smoked. And realized, okay, it's going to... How much work it would take for her to even get to Elaine...
Thompson-Hurrah, yeah.
Yeah, Elaine Thompson-Hurrah or Sherri Ann Fraser, to get to that level?
Yeah.
She ain't got it, right? And she's so focused on all this BS,
mm-hmm.
and so she's not competing right now. So what are you doing?
Which is what here's the thing. She should be racing against them now, and because you learn so much from each race. And she should be in Switzerland. She should be in Paris. Because you know what? Now there's more focus. You get to build yourself. It doesn't matter if you lose to them. You're not going to win every race. And she has never won every race. And obviously, we came in 9th place. I think she's afraid to get smoked again. She's not ready. And the problem is, she's got 3 to 4 Olympics ahead of her still, if she commits to it. And you're right. I agree with you. I think she's going to self-destruct, because she's on that path right now.
She totally is. Like, to your point, Alyssa Felix is trying to give you some advice. Mm-hmm. Another black woman is trying to help you, who's been in your shoes, and you are aspiring to be, and you're still going to snap at her? You know, it'd be one thing if it's some comedian, if it's Monique talking shit.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. Say something. But it's Alyssa Felix, right? So who are you to even talk trash back to Alyssa Felix? And so you have these opportunities of people who you could learn from. You could ask, hey, Alyssa, would you be a mentor for me? I know this was your last... Hoorah. I would love to spend. I'll pay whatever it takes. But she just keeps talking shit. So I think she's just going to self-destruct. And in the next Olympics, I predict we won't even be talking about her.
It's interesting because, you know, so Alyssa Felix was an Olympian at 18 years old, right? She was an Olympian at 18 years old. Sha'Carri Richardson, people are like, oh, she's still young. She's got this. She's 21. She's not even an Olympian yet, because she smoked her way out of an Olympics. She had that distinction and then smoked her way out of it, right? So therefore, she's not an Olympian yet. Until she makes the next Olympics, she's not an Olympian. And you're right. She should try to, you know, you know, make friends, make love, not war, you know, get the mentorship of someone like an Allyson Felix, who is still running right now and is in the Diamond League. Because she's going to be around probably through the World Championships next year and then probably retire after that. She's not going to be in the Olympics again.
Right.
But you need people like this who know what it's like to get there, who know the pressure that's on them. Allyson has not won every race she's run. She's won some, but she's definitely the most decorated U.S. track and field athlete, period.
Yeah. No, Shikari's just I want to root for her. I don't care that she smoked weed. I like weed. I think it's great. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, you just didn't clear your system out in time before you got tested for the to be in the Olympics. You know, okay, so hey, my bad. I don't knock you for smoking weed.
Yeah.
But all the behavior that she's doing and that she's exhibiting right now, it's you got all these people trying to support her. You have different arguments in the black community where you got, why do we got to tear down black women? No, she's tearing herself down.
Yes.
It's hard to defend her because of all this stuff. Then it's like, oh, so black women are not supposed to... No, we're not saying that. But fucking think about the long term. Think about the long term and think about the money. You can be whatever black woman you want to be, but then at the end of the day, it's your choice that you're in the situation that you're at. Don't blame the world. You had a lot of people try to encourage her. A lot of people tried to help her. If she winds up just being a really physically fit gym teacher at a high school coaching the track team, that could be her destiny. Maybe she's going to help other people learn from her mistake. But everything that's happening to her, it's her fault. And
it is.
We need to stop coddling her and trying to say, like, hey, we should be supported. No, at some point, we should somebody be like, I'm tired of your shit.
Yeah.
You knock it off.
Take her Twitter away from her. First of all, watching her is like, it's what you just said about it's hard to defend her. It reminds me of a Chris Rock joke from his stand-up special, Never Scared, when he goes, it's hard to defend. I got hoes in different area codes. I love rap. Tired of defending it. You know, same thing. I love the attention that Shikari Richardson has brought to track and field in America. And we got to keep this in mind because there are a lot of people like, well, nobody was paying attention to track and field until she came. Stop it. Because that's in America. Because at the end of the day, if you talk about the second most popular sport in the world, cricket, America doesn't even know what that is, okay? Cricket is something that makes noise at night outside, right? In America. You talk about football, you're thinking the next topic we're about to jump on, which is the 49ers and the Saints. But really, if you think about globally, football is what America calls soccer. So the world doesn't revolve around America, and that's the thing. So if you say that we weren't paying attention to track and field until her... No, I was excited for her initially because I knew that the coverage would be even greater because we live in America. So therefore, you know, there's going to be a focus on it until she starts doing this stupid shit. And yeah, hard to defend her. And I'm tired of defending her. I'm not. That's my Chris Rock impersonation.
Get your shit together.
Well, it seems your Saints have gotten their shit together and they've named a starter, and it's not Dollar Tree Michael Vick. What?
No, it's not. It's so Jameis Winston got the starting spot at Saints.
How do you feel?
And so at first I was nervous about it. I've always said I've never been a Jameis fan, but I trust Sean Payton. Watching them play the other day and watching Jameis throw those deep bombs, those accuracy. We got this running, this receiver, Callaway. We have some weapons. And Michael Thomas still hasn't played yet.
Wow.
And so after what I saw, I was like, go ahead on, Jameis. Like, he put points up. Then Taysom came in, and it was like Pac-Man. It just wasn't going well. And I was like, Taysom, where are you at? And you're playing against the second string, and you're not making anything happen. So, again, I trust Sean Payton. I think I'm excited about the offensive weapons that the Saints have. The Saints' defense is still one of the top defenses in the NFL, especially after last season. So, I'm feeling pretty good.
I will say this. I was excited for Jameis Winston when he went to New Orleans the first time, because I'm like, you get to sit behind Drew Brees and understand and learn, which he didn't get to do when he was in Tampa Bay. He went into Tampa Bay and automatically started, right? So he's there, he's gone, he's in, and trial by fire. And for that reason, I was glad that he had the opportunity to sit behind him and see what was happening. It's kind of like what happened with Teddy Bridgewater. Look at Teddy Bridgewater. He sat behind Drew Brees, went to Carolina, and was the starter. I mean, didn't do shit, but still, regardless. I mean, I'm just saying, you know.
But I mean, Jameis sat behind Ryan Fitzmagic. He didn't learn anything from Fitzmagic.
Yeah, but you know that again. Fitzmagic is, and we like his name is Fitzpatrick. Yes, we know. But what Fitzmagic does, he's a streak. He's like John Starks from the Knicks back in the day. He's a streak shooter. I mean, same thing with, you know, think about him in Miami when they let Tua go and throw. He completed one pass and go, all right, so Tua's our starter next week. I'm like, why? You're winning with Fitzpatrick. Let him keep playing. But, you know, whatever. That's why I'm not a coach. And I will say, I do trust Sean Payton in this one, and I think Jameis has done the work. He realized last year that they want to see what Taysom can do. You want to see what Taysom Hill can do. Because I was kind of confused when they were letting Taysom Hill play and not Jameis Winston. And I think it's because Sean Payton kind of, I know what he has, but I need him to give me more, right? Let's see what Taysom has. And Taysom proved that he can do some things. But is he the long-term answer? No. Jameis could be your answer until they get the next guy that they're going to draft within the next year or two to be the next person. And you've got Jameis for the next 3-4 years anyway. Jameis is a good quarterback. He's not the great quarterback. He's not your Tom Brady. He's not your Steve Young. But he's not bad.
Remember he did that? He has a better arm than Taysom Hill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He totally has a better arm than Taysom Hill. And I think that with all the weapons that we have now, that plays to his strengths. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to be the Cam Newton running style quarterback. He can just sit in the pocket and throw. And he did a good job of that. So I'm hoping there's a lot of things that he's learned. So we'll just have to see. What about the Niners? I haven't seen a game there yet.
Yeah, you know, so here's the interesting thing about the 49ers. I think the first game, Trey Lance came in. I tell you, I like the first game because what Jimmy G did was he got the ball around. I look for certain things that they do. I don't look for the points. I don't look for whether we win or lose. I look to see what individual players do. And looking at what Jimmy Garoppolo did in the first game, he got the ball around, even made the right decisions. I'm like, cool. That's what I want to see. Same thing in the second game. Very uneventful, but got him down the field, whatnot. Trey Lance, when he came in the first game, threw an 80-yard touchdown pass. Great. But then he ended up with 120-something yards for the rest of the game. I'm like, okay, not really impressive. And then in the second game, he started off slow. And then he kind of got better, led them down to a touchdown and you know, some scoring drives, which is good. I like what I see out of Trey Lance. I will say he does stand in the pocket and doesn't feel the pressure at all. He has no concept of pressure in that pocket. Chris Jones lit his ass up when we played against the Chiefs, and he had no idea he was even there. And that's a problem because you can't hold the ball in the NFL. You may have had 5 seconds playing for North Dakota State. You got 2.5 in the league, maybe 1.5, mm-hmm. to be quite honest. You've got to make that decision fast and get the ball out. He's got an arm. He's got a better arm than Garoppolo, but again, and he's got a better touch pass than Colin Kaepernick ever did. So I give him that. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. I know there are people like Steve Young who's going, you know, he should start. And he should start week one. And Steve Young saying that, I was wondering, well, why does Steve Young say that? Because I just saw the headline on it. What is Steve Young seeing? And he goes, it's really about what the organization did. You traded all these first round picks to move up and get this guy. So basically you've told your guy that you already have that you are not the guy. We don't want you. You've got a Super Bowl-ready team around him. Put him in. Let's go. And the only way I would say, you know what, I agree with him, is Trey Lance has got a gun. He's got time to learn because he's got a running game with him. And the 49ers are built to run. Regardless of how much Mike Shanahan seems like a quarterback's coach, we're built to run. The last 2 times we're in the Super Bowl was because our coaches decided to listen to the media and prove the media wrong and prove that our quarterbacks can throw better than we can run. Don't do that shit. Run the ball. Let's go get this championship. Nobody expects us to win. We can do it because we've got the team.
Well,
I know. It'll be an interesting season.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting season. I'm ready to get it started. You know, you see, I got my little Hoot at Fleur de Lis painting on my wall, ready for football season.
I will say now, I'm not a Saints fan, not in the least. I remember the paperback Aints. But that shit that you have at the top of your steps is amazing. It's a great look. So kudos to you on that. I will give you some applause on that, just because, you know what?
Thank you.
I will say it looks good. It looks good. And thank God I don't have to look at that shit, and it doesn't even show up great in the background of you right now.
Well, you know, if you come down to Austin, Texas, and want to spend a couple days with me, the guest room is upstairs. You have to walk past that shit at least twice a day. So be prepared.
Okay, so
be
that's
prepared.
What it is. If you don't want me to visit, just say that.
If that's all it takes to not have you come, then great. I'm going to paint another one on the front door.
Now you won't even drive by.
Yeah, you won't even drive by. That's fine. I'll put one somewhere around every highway that surrounds Austin. That way you won't even just want to pass them.
What's so bad is my neighbor in Atlanta is a Saints fan. He's got a Saints welcome mat. Like, take that shit up.
Hey, but that's bold, because being a Saints fan in Atlanta, that's yeah. tough to do. So kudos to him. Because, I mean, hell, I'm a Saints fan, but if I'm going to Atlanta, I'm not going to say shit. I'll be sitting at the bar watching the game just like under the table. Fuck yes, Jameis. Yes. But I ain't going to say something out loud and get shot. We know how Atlanta is.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I know how Atlanta is.
Yeah. It's Atlanta's a tough place. But, you know, speaking of tough places, this Afghanistan thing, It's been a mess, right? It's been a mess from 20 years ago. So no fault to just one particular president. But could you imagine being the troops that they say, hey, we need to send 2,000 of you guys back to go help evacuate in those conditions that they're in? And so unfortunately, we've lost 13 people this week, 13 soldiers. And when you look at the ages, I mean, it's so interesting when you hear about it, because we all know, you go to war, you sign up for the military, this is a part of it, right? We totally get that. And you hear about there's deaths. And so as us civilians, we're like, okay, but then when you see the people, you see the pictures, you have the one soldier whose baby was about to be born in a couple weeks that he'll never meet. Like all these different, their stories, right? So it's just gut-wrenching, and definitely heart goes out to all those families and support for all those troops there that are being told to go back to that freaking area and war scene to try to save some folks, which we definitely want to help get the Americans and other Afghans out. But you put them in a bad spot by saying you have to go back out there, and you have what, 3 days?
Yeah.
3 days is the deadline before the Taliban's going to start just going nuts. So it's just a mess.
You know, the thing that I think irks me the most about this is, I mean, we look nowadays and we see GW with Michelle Obama at events, and, you know, he seems so lovable and kind and jolly and whatnot, and we forget that he's the one that sent the troops into Afghanistan the first time around, right? And in that sense, he was still a draft dodger in the sense of he avoided the war. Because of his privilege, he was able to avoid the war. And it really irks me when you have people who had no stake in this, no chance of them going or their family going or their children going or their nieces and nephews going to war at all. But they're so quick to send other people's kids to war. If you had to go and stand in the front line like they did back in the day, as the president, you had to be like the king and be on the front lines and leading the charge, I bet you half of these motherfuckers would not be going to war. And that shit to me just irks me, because you have no idea what it is, right? You look at even, and of course it didn't just end with him, because once you're in, it's hard to get out. There's no Obama getting out. There's no Trump getting out. Trump set this up for this to happen, and now is criticizing it at the same time, right? And Trump was the draft dodger that he was, and making up all kind of stuff as to why he couldn't make it in. But at the same time, when we were there and President Obama was in office, I was doing my MBA. And I remember I was reading for my MBA, and I remember one of my classmates who was in the military went to Afghanistan. And when he came back, we sat down for drinks. We were downtown Charleston on Market Street, and we're upstairs in Henry's. And he says to me, we can never get out of there. He goes, I know. And first of all, when I sat with him, he was a completely different person than the guy I knew that went before he went. Completely different person. You can see it in his eyes. You can see everything. He's completely different, right? And he says to me, I know Obama says he wants to get out. We're never leaving. We can't. I can't argue with the man who's been on the ground and is saying right. that there's no way we leave this. You know what I'm saying? And I can't get into the politics of everything else that's happening and to why, yeah, do we need to be there? Do we need to be out? We can't occupy the world. And I'm never going to jump into all these politics of what we've done, what America has done and across, you know, Germany and yeah. Japan and Korea and all that. No, I'm going to leave that alone. But I'm just saying that at the same time, it's sad to watch these kids die. And there are going to be more deaths. And that's the sad thing about this. We were there for 20 years. There are a lot of people who died. And for what? Because we didn't learn the lesson of Vietnam. Stop going into people's backyards that you have no business being in there.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, just a lot of respect for those that sign up to put in that uniform, regardless of what job they have.
Indeed.
Because they're doing something that I wouldn't do. And I chose not to do. So a lot of respect for him, but it's just going to be, there's no win-win. There was no right way to pull out.
Mm-hmm.
There just wasn't. No. So I personally don't want us there. And I get it. It's unfortunate what it does to those people, those Afghans that live there. But we can't save everybody in the world. I mean, we just can't do it. And look at all the money that we spent there. I mean, I do feel some of that we should focus on ourselves a little bit more than we do with these other countries. But, you know, there was no right way to get out. There's no easy way to do it. And when you deal with a negotiation with the Taliban, it's not like, you know, two real estate agents going, you know, back and forth over a house. You know, it's that's the Taliban. I mean, it's, imagine if you made a deal with the Crips. Right. And you're like, hey, by this date, I promise I'll have you your money. What do you think is going to happen on that day we don't have your money? You can't get an extension.
Yep.
It's ass whooping time. That's what it is. There's no, you're not dealing with, you know, a business. You're dealing with people who are killing people.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a mess. But again, I hate to use the phrase thoughts and prayers because I feel like it's meaningless, especially since it's used so much. But again, just, you know, think about those troops. Anybody that's listening, you know, take some time to think about some of these folks that are out there doing things that none of us would do, or some of you who have done it and you get what they're seeing. Think about them, think about their families, because it's going to be a really interesting, you know, at least next 3 days. If August 31st deadline is there, mm-hmm. it's going to be really interesting next 3 days.
The thing about it is, too, that I think we've got to stop making everything so political and, you know, left and right, because regardless, if Trump had been reelected, and this is the date that they had set, and he was in office and this is happening, Democrats would be chastising him for this, right? Even though they're all thinking we need to come out. And the Republicans would have been praising him for getting out. But because Biden is in office, oh, well, Biden doesn't know what he's doing. A Don Jr. tweeting, this is what weakness looks like. Like, yo, stop that shit. Because you would have been mad at anybody on the left saying the same shit about your dad and who has no ounce of strength in him in the shit that he does, except grabbing.
I love how they call for his resignation. I'm like, y'all are stupid. But you're right. If it was a Republican president, the Democrats would be saying all things Republicans are saying mm-hmm. and vice versa. So we do have to get out of making everything about politics. But speaking of you. You got a story from Delta Airlines, right? I don't know if that's political, but it falls into it.
Well, I'll tell you what. It may not have initially been political, but people have made this entire vaccine conversation political over the last, you know, what, 6 months now? 8 months now? 9, 12? Well, it's been about a year now that we've been talking about the vaccine and it's coming and whatnot. So, you know, what's happening with Delta is Delta has come up with a way, instead of forcing everybody to get vaccinated, like I know at least three radio companies, including the one I work for, that has said people need to be vaccinated by this date. If you want to work here, this is what you need to do. I'm already vaccinated, so I'm not an issue for me. There are people who, and now they do have a couple loopholes for people to you know, whether it's religious or it's medical that you can't, then so be it. But this is not a surprise. The government can't mandate the vaccine. And Fauci actually told us a couple of weeks ago, he said, once it gets FDA approved, watch for mandates to come everywhere. And mm-hmm. it's what's happening. And it's going to be businesses are going to have to do it. And the private sector is going to have to do it because in order to avoid the shutdown, the private sector has to do it to stop them to stop the shutdown. Right. The government right. can't mandate. Everybody gets it because, of course, politics. Right. right. At the end of the day. So what Delta's doing is it says here the headline is a little deceiving because it says Delta will charge unvaccinated employees $200 per month. But it's really not charging. Well, technically it is, because basically they'll be increasing their medical premium by $200 a month. And if anybody who's actually not in a union that has had to deal with medical and you know, health insurance, you know that shit is not cheap. That shit mm-hmm. will take your entire paycheck if you're not careful. So to increase it by 200, if I was an anti-vaxxer, enjoying the perks of flying Delta and working for Delta and enjoying my time working at Delta and thanking my lucky stars that I don't work at Spirit, then I would probably go, you know what? Jab me up, bro.
Yeah. Hey, I applaud Delta because here's what a lot of these larger companies are doing. It's the what if factor, mm-hmm. right? It's the what if factor because keep in mind, we are barely a year into the pandemic. Mm-hmm. At some point, you're going to start seeing lawsuits that said, my kid went to your kid's birthday party and got mm-hmm. COVID from some kid there, and I'm suing. Like, yep. all these things happen. Now, with these companies, it's going to be huge. And you got a lot of people upset, a lot of employees who feel this is attack on their rights. Quit. Go find something else. But if you yep. work for a company who mandates it, so I like how Delta's trying to ease into it because they're saying, look, if you don't want to get it, that's fine. We're going to take an extra $200 out of your paycheck to go toward. And the medical is not to cover them when they get sick. That extra $200 is cover Delta for when they can start getting sued because their employees were on a flight and somebody got COVID and they find out one flight attendant was on that plane without the shot and they tested positive for COVID. Well, then it's her fault.
But you know what they're also saying is that they're saying, and I'm looking at this, it says company spokesman has said the average hospital stay costs $40,000, right? Which means there's money that's covered by their insurance, by the healthcare insurance. So therefore, Delta's going, yeah, well, if that's the case and this is what it is, then we got to make sure that this is what it is. And at the end of the day, you can argue over, well, why do I have to get vaccinated if even vaccinated people can get COVID again, right? I've watched two people who I know who both were tested positive. One was vaccinated, one was not. There was a big difference between.
We're all gonna get it.
Yeah, I couldn't taste food for 2-3 days. To I feel like I'm on my deathbed. I don't know if I'm gonna make it. Can you please call my lawyer? You know, it.
Yeah. We're all going to get it. It's like the flu. At some point, we are all going to get it. So mm-hmm. you heard people say all those type of stories, and I agree. But the vaccines definitely help. But if you have these people that – and you're working in very high traffic places. It's one thing if you just work from home mm-hmm. and you don't want to get the vaccine. And that's your prerogative. You can put on a mask when you go to the grocery store. Don't have to get the vaccine. That's fine. But mm-hmm. when you're working in these high volume spots – not only are you putting yourself at risk, you're putting other people at risk, and you could shut down the business. You know, think of yep. the times that a Tyson plant, you know, you have your Amazons, your Walmart distribution centers. You know, when there's an outbreak, they close that building because mm-hmm. they got to like clean it, sanitize it. They got to do contact tracing. All those different things have to happen. It's not just like, oh, well, Yanni's calling in sick. He's got COVID. He was here yesterday and tested positive. Let's just move on like business as usual. It's a whole lot of things that get impacted. And so
yep.
I think kudos for Delta on the move. And, you know, you're going to have some upset employees and let them go if they quit. So many people are hiring right now. They'll find something else. And Delta can be able to find some people as well.
Yeah. And, you know, look. You have a choice. The choice we have a choice in everything we do, right? In every portion of life, we have a choice, and the choice is vaccinated or not. And if it means your job says that you have to have it and you choose not to, it's your choice. Again.
Yeah.
So
you grown.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to give up the extra $200 a month, I can't afford that extra $200 a month. I got baby
diapers. Speaking of somebody that can afford $200 a month, let's talk about Ted Cruz.
Oh, so, of course.
This week in the news of Ted Cruz,
and Ted his Cruz campaign, news.
his campaign has been accused of purchasing scores of copies of the senator's most recent book to the tune of some $150,000. Mm. So his new book is One Vote Away, How a Single Supreme Court Seat Can Change History, that was published last year. So apparently on the website that they're saying they're going to give a signed autographed copy to anyone who donates at least $77,000 to his reelection effort. So reelection for the Senate.
You got to donate $77,000 to get a signed copy?
No, $77.
Oh, okay. Woo.
$77, Jesus. Yeah.
I'm glad I heard that wrong because I was like, what the hell?
Yeah. So now, however, bulk book orders from campaigns are usually made via the publisher, not a bookseller, as buying books on the market can raise royalties and push books up bestseller lists, thus skirting the boundaries of campaign finance regulations. Mm-hmm. So now I'm sure Ted Cruz did some foul shit with this, but he's probably going to get away with it because he's Ted Cruz. But I say all this to make everybody aware that every week we're going to talk about the things that Ted Cruz says and does in the week, so I can remind everybody to vote him out because during the snowpocalypse, he went to Cancun and tried mm-hmm. to blame it on trying to be a good dad and totally lied to everybody. And like at one point, you got to say this person's a liar and we don't need him. And so he's just trying to say the right things to get people to vote for him, to reelect him as senator so that way he can run for president in 2024. But we need to vote Ted Cruz out. Texas deserves better. So every week, vote him out.
I don't know if Texas actually deserves better. I mean, the shit that y'all have been doing in the last year, I really doubt that Texas deserves
better. Gotta start somewhere.
Texas deserves Ted Cruz, to be quite honest. And that's exactly why I keep saying Texas is going to Texas, Texas is going to Florida, Texas is going to Flexus, and Texas will re-elect Ted Cruz. And when Ted Cruz becomes the nominee, the Republican nominee for president, then we, the rest of the country, will blame Texas for this bullshit because it's going to be your fault. Again, all the crap that Texas has been doing, telling people, you know, well, don't wear a mask. The first state to have the full, you know, what was it, 40,000 people in a stadium at a Texas Rangers game. You got your governor out here just all willy-nilly without a mask, and then he tests positive. You got them saying, you know, you don't have to get the jab, but, you know, but you do have to, you have to
women,
not get an
women
abortion.
Women can't get abortions.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. You know,
all that.
Don't tell me what to do, but I'll tell you what to do.
yeah, so
Texas deserves it.
Yeah, don't tell me what to do, but I'm telling all you Texan folks, you need to vote him out. Okay? It starts there. Next after that, we're going to focus on Abbott and get him out. And then we can get people in that can change this abortion law that they have here. So we can do it.
All right. Well, you know, on that note, how about we get to something, this fun little game we have, Texas, Florida, or somewhere else, right?
Okay.
So I'm going to read a story, and you'll tell me if this person is from Texas, from Florida, or somewhere else. Okay. Right, so the headline reads, man arrested for threatening Disney on Twitter. So man was arrested for threatening Disney. It was Stephen Jordan. He was 31 years old, created a Twitter account on August 8th and made a total of 186 tweets, like, at Disney. Or we will blow up all of your execs' houses with C4. Disney, I will toss a hand grenade through their loft window. All those 186 tweets within a 3-hour period.
Wow. He did not enjoy the ride or the lines.
Well, you know,
he was upset.
I've never been to
Florida,
Disney.
Though, because when you say Disney, I'm thinking it has to be Florida.
I'm going to say this. I've never been to Disney, but I've heard the lines are crazy. And that would make anybody go a little nuts. And this Florida man arrested for threatening Disney on Twitter. You are correct.
Of course. It was
indeed Florida. All right. So next one. So you're one for one right now.
Yep.
So remember, this is Texas, Florida, or somewhere else. Woman uses guns laser sight to play with cat, accidentally shoots man. That's the headline, right?
Texas.
You're not even waiting for the story. You're like, fuck it. I know it's Texas. It's gotta be Texas.
I just hearing it, I'm like, Texas. It has Texas written all over it.
And she's probably 4'11" and stepped out of a big truck. Because, you know, in Texas, the short women always get out of a big truck, right? So here's what happened. Let me give you this story real quick. This woman accidentally shot her friend using the gun's laser sight because she was playing with a cat. Like, basically, she was like, oh, look, I'm going to take this gun, turn on the laser sight, and try to get the cat to chase it all around. And she accidentally fired the gun and shot the dude. And if I were you, I would think Texas, too. But this was actually in Wisconsin.
Wait, did he survive?
Yes.
Okay, that's why it's not Texas. If you would have said, accidentally shoots man and kills him, that's what a Texas woman would do.
Well, here's the problem. He's the idiot because he's the one that brought the gun to the house. He was standing in the doorway, and he got hit by the round in his thigh. Luckily, he didn't hit, you know, an artery, so he was fine. She's charged with negligent use of a weapon, but yeah.
Do you break up after that? I just wonder, like, what is that conversation like? You know, you're having dinner, you got a patch in your eye, you're just kind of like.
Did you really accidentally shoot me?
Yeah. I just wonder, do you stay together? I mean, I think that's a call for a breakup, or at least a couple deep conversations before you come back in this house. Something. I'd sent you one, but you tell me where you think this is. A paramedic has sex with a patient and gets fired.
Texas, Florida, or somewhere else. This almost sounds like Texas does some crazy shit. Florida does some crazy shit. But this really sounds like somewhere. This sounds like something out of like New York or something like that. What we got?
It's believable. It was actually Miami, Florida.
Oh, wow.
So there was an administrative complaint against Yoandi Moreno, who was a paramedic. So he's lost his license because he was working a shift from 7 p.m. to 1:15 a.m. And on August 11, 2019, he left from 9 p.m. to 9:45 p.m. Without telling anybody. Moreno later admitted that he left the plantation general grounds to have sex with a patient.
Okay.
Or maybe what he calls treatment.
Exactly. He was given treatment. And look, kudos to this man, because we all know that at any given time, that could have been he left from 9 to 9:05.
Now, I mean, you got to factor travel times, unless he just went to a patient's room. But I don't think the patient was there. So you got to factor in travel time. So he was gone for 45 minutes, 5 minutes to get there, 5 minutes to get back. You got
that's,
40
that still
minutes.
Leaves him, that, that's that still that,
that's
leaves 35 him 35 minutes.
Minutes.
Yeah.
35 minutes, 5 minutes just to kind of talk, chop it up a little bit. And then let's just say, 10 minutes? And then 20 minutes to be able to leave, to make up an excuse that you got to leave.
You know, so here's what's so funny about the way you just broke that down, right? I've always said that women can cheat easier than men, just because you as a man, if this woman called you up and goes, I'll be there in 10 minutes, be naked. When she shows up in 10 minutes, what are you going to be when you open the door?
The door's already unlocked. I'm just saying, just come straight to the room. I'm naked.
So think for, she's got 30 minutes, right? It takes her 5 minutes to get there. So she tells you, so 10 minutes to get there. We said 10 minutes. So we'll go with the 10 minutes, right? So let's go with the 45 minutes. She's got 10 minutes to get
there.
I'm giving you this,
got
this difference.
Got it.
Why it's so much easier for a woman to do it. Because she tells you, I'll be there in 10 minutes. So it takes her 10 minutes travel time to get there, right? She gets there, you're already naked, the door's unlocked, all she got to do is come upstairs, that takes her 30 seconds, and you got all this time, because remember, she's got 10 minutes to get back. So that's 20 minutes it takes for her to get there, so you got 25 minutes. You've really got 24 and a half minutes to get everything done. Well, let's just go 24, because it takes another 30 minutes to get back downstairs, right? So you got 24 minutes to get everything done. As a guy, though, if you call up and say, I'll be there in 10 minutes, be naked when I get there. You may get there, she may still be fully dressed. Like, why I gotta be naked? You know? You gotta sit
you
there
always
and talk
try
about
to tell me what to do. Yeah.
You gotta talk about her feelings. You know, everything.
You gotta
else.
Hear about her day and all that. Baby daddy called, pissed me off. You gotta hear the story. You just like, well, I don't even you want make, it anymore. Never mind. I'm going to the bathroom. I'll do it myself.
See, I was going to give him at least 5 minutes. You say he's just going to have to do it with himself.
Yeah, I was going to the bathroom. Okay, use your bathroom real quick. Bring your phone in there and your AirPods so you can put on your porn. Hey, but hold on. We've all been there where we were at work and we got a chance to have some relations. I've done it. You know, now I wasn't an EMT, so that's different. But did I ever leave the restaurant to go check in on somebody and then come back to work? Yes, I've done that.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say anything. I just will say I've never left the studio.
Oh, you pulled the Monica Lewinsky. You brought it. You come up to the station.
No comment.
Oh, goodness.
We don't need this to come back in 7 years.
I know, right? I want to be a VP one day. I don't want someone to be like, well, I heard Terrell when he was a restaurant manager back in 1999 and 2001, he's hooked up with somebody. I'm like, so many years ago.
Hey, let me shake some salt on them fries. Let me flip that burger.
That's what we call it.
Order up?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Let's get out of here before we get ourselves in trouble. And we can't. And then now we can't host Jeopardy.
Yeah, now we can't host Jeopardy or anything. We're just stuck.
What you sipping on, man?
Sipping on a little Tito's and soda with a little lime. I've been on a vodka kick for a while.
Nice.
So sticking with that. Vodka is it's a more calm, chill drink for me. It doesn't take me down the path that whiskey does.
You know, you talk so much shit about my last glass and how I'm drinking out of a wine glass. So I've got my Peabody from Memphis.
Nice.
My beverage glass. I'm doing the Four Roses. I'm doing the, which one is this one? This is the small batch, not the single barrel. Single barrel is always my favorite, but I have the small batch in this one, and you know it's always nice and smooth as well too. So that's what I'm sipping on right here.
Good.
Don't forget Monday we drop the audio. Tuesday we drop the video, and Wednesday we do episode 7. Of Married at First Sight, the recap. And we're close to another milestone, so make sure you share it with everybody. Share us with your friends, share us with your enemies, share us with your accomplices. Because the sooner we get to that milestone, make sure you tell them to find us on YouTube, RGRT Pod, and make sure they subscribe, because as soon as we hit our goal, we give, again, away another regular guy's random giveaway. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Remember to follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes, send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers, brother.